Hi, this is Scott Stanley. Today we are going to get into some of the deeper things of God, because I think we've progressed far enough in our podcast presentations to be able to describe what God has given us up to this point. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, because I'm still dealing with Revelation chapter 8. And we'll see in a minute how that the two come together, Revelation 8 and the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, Peter makes the statement in his sermon in verse 33, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God," well, that word God has the definite article in front of it. It is the God, or you could just say the Divine One. "Therefore, being by the right hand of the Divine One, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost." Now, the definite article is before the word holy, but it's also before the word ghost or spirit. He received from the Father, or of the Father, the promise of the Holy One, the Spirit, and he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Now, that way of saying that, the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, the Spirit, is seen in Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians 4, verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." The Spirit. "Grieve not the Holy One, the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." The Holy Spirit comes from God the Father, and it is His Spirit. And when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says in verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither is entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." God has revealed these things to us through His Spirit. "It is the Spirit that searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Well, even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." So this is a problem, being in the apostasy that we have been in. People believe in God, but they don't know Him. Remember in 1 Peter 1:9 that the aim or the goal or the completion of our faith is the salvation of our soul. And I have used that in these podcasts, that salvation is the completion of our faith. But there is another way of putting this, you could say, in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3. "This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." But to know God, you have to possess His Spirit. We just read that in 1 Corinthians 2. We can believe in God and yet not know Him. That is the issue. On the day of Pentecost, Christ, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. So the day of Pentecost is a demonstration of what you see in Joel chapter 2, where God pours out of his Spirit upon all flesh. So according to Joel 2, there is a day coming when God will, through his church, pour out an understanding of who he is. The things that are in his Spirit, the things that only he knows, no man knows these things, but God has to reveal it. Now, the day will come that through the church, he is going to pour out information concerning himself in a big way. And Acts chapter 2 demonstrated that. Peter says, this is that, and he starts quoting Joel 2. But what you're seeing in Acts 2 is a demonstration of it. And it's done as a type or a similitude, because they hear a rushing mighty wind, and they see cloven tongues of fire, and they speak in a different language. People who receive the Holy Spirit don't always hear a literal mighty wind and see cloven tongues of fire and speak in another language. All of that happens inwardly. The mighty wind, the mighty Spirit, the breath is that of Christ. And the cloven tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit is a fire. But cloven tongues, divided tongues of fire, and you speak in another language. That other language is the spiritual meaning of the things of God. Now, one thing that gives us a clue concerning this understanding of God is seen in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. 38 and 39. He that believes on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus, dying on that cross, being raised from the dead, Acts chapter 2, Jesus, having received this promise, which was given by God after Christ was glorified, he hath shed forth this. So there is something in the cross. There is something about that that reveals to us the character of God. Now, this is important. Again, the apostasy doesn't believe the Father and Son. They deny Father and Son. 1 John 2:22. In 1 John 4, they deny Christ came in the flesh, or he came into this world, he emptied himself and became a man, and he came without an understanding of God and grew in wisdom and was anointed by God at his baptism when God said, you are my son. At that given moment, Christ became the Christ, and he had a born from above experience. He knew that he was the Son of God. All of these things, to just listen to this study by itself will just create havoc. Listening to each podcast and building on the truth will bring to you an understanding of God, which when we combine that with the cross, you will possess Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is that accumulation of truth that brings us to the cross, shows us what's going on the cross, and you add the Father to it, and you realize this is His understanding. What we're seeing on the cross is the understanding of God. How does God look at us? He looks at us as having guilt, carrying pain, exposing our nakedness without His righteousness, and living in darkness. That is how He sees humanity. And He wants you to grasp that, embrace that, and unite with Christ in His prayer of, Father, I feel forsaken, but I am thirsting for truth. And as far as me trying to quench this thirst myself through the drugs and alcohol and sex, it's finished. I'm not going to do that anymore. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And you find death, the death of the cross, and you carry that with you and you die daily. You die daily when it comes to getting along with other people in your life. You're able to see the problems they have because you recognize they too were manifested at the cross. And you can make atonement for these people who are angering you. You can switch out that thought of anger and replace it with the problems that they possess. You see, God is spirit. And we see that in the Gospel of John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Jesus said God is spirit. Well, spirit is of the mind. Satan is of the mind. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse you, pressing in, enhancing your guilt and shame from what you have done to other people. He presses on what people have done to you, creating in you more anger and resentment and bitterness. But God gives you truth of what is wrong with people. He gives you a way of atoning for yourself and what other people have done. It's the opposite of the adversary. In this way, Christ is destroying the works of the devil, which the devil is the author of iniquity. In this way, Christ destroys the work of the devil and gives you God's understanding of how He sees us, how He sees you and the world. His understanding of how to overcome it and be set free from iniquity. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. But God reveals these things through His Spirit. And no one knows the spirit of the man but the man. Even so, no one knows the spirit of God but God. And receiving that truth and coming to an understanding of the character of God, the glory that He carries, the light that He is. Accumulating that information, that knowledge, according to the Word of God, is the Holy Spirit. Having that. So when I look at Revelation chapter 8, He opens the seventh seal. Now, what has happened up to this point? White, red, black, pale horses crying out for help. God stepping in, changing the way you see the sun and the moon and the stars, closing those heavens, giving you a new heaven to understand who He is. Revelation 7. The lies that we have been told concerning ourselves and concerning God. He heals or redeems. He changes all of that thinking. Those redeemed thoughts are the 144,000. And those thoughts that bring healing are the Holy Spirit. It accumulates in this knowledge, in this thinking, that heals us. By His stripes I'm healed. By looking at His depiction of my iniquity, I can be healed. And what brings that healing is the Spirit of the Father. Again, given to Christ, poured out, Pentecost, was not yet given because He was not glorified. The things which men don't know, it hasn't entered into their mind, into their heart, but God will give it to us through His Spirit by faith. And when He does, it brings healing to you, and you possess His Spirit, and here we see on the seventh seal, verse 3, Revelation 8, another messenger came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much prayer, much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers. This incense is the righteousness. This messenger is that information of the Holy Spirit. It is a messenger of God carrying information of the Father. He comes and stands having a golden censer. The golden censer allows this messenger to carry hot coals of fire, which is a perfect picture of the Holy Spirit. Christ will immerse you in Holy Spirit and fire. Well, possessing the Holy Spirit is understanding the iniquity that the cross depicts. And because He immerses you in that truth and fire, He is able to consume out of you the iniquity that you carry. Iniquity about God, thinking that He's angry and He's going to kill us because we've sinned. It's fair to say you're going to die if you die in your sin, but to say He's going to kill you because of it is not a true statement. Possessing this truth and allowing His Spirit to work, He will reveal to you the iniquity. Again, you see God differently. You see yourself differently. And that fire from the cross, remember, the censer, the high priest, would go to the altar, gather coals up from that altar, and bring it into the sanctuary, and put it in that altar of incense, burn incense. This is what you're seeing, a picture of that. Well, we know it's the high priest that does it. But it's interesting that Christ is referred to as the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You see, Christ being given the Spirit, the information of the Father, the information of how He sees us, possessing that truth, living what He lived on that cross, portraying it. He is that Spirit. And it is Christ bringing that Spirit, or you could just say the Spirit, that truth that is able to gather coals from the cross, coals of fire, and combine that with your prayers. Your prayers are to take the Holy Spirit, the information that we have now, and combine that with your prayer, the prayer of all saints, he says in Revelation 8. The prayers of the saints are to overcome sin. The prayers of the saints are to find deliverance. Well, that is what Christ, using the Holy Spirit, can do. He will combine His understanding with your prayers to give you victory over all sin and iniquity. And what you see in Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, the messenger, the Holy Spirit, or you could say the high priest carrying the Holy Spirit, Christ, the messenger took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar of the cross and cast it into the earth. And there came to be voices, thundering, which is rebuke, lightning, which is light flashing, understanding happening, and an earthquake, which is great conviction. What is it again? Voices, rebuke, light, and conviction. And the seven messengers which had the trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The trumpets are the acclamation of joy. Receiving the truth of the cross and understanding why Christ died, who He is and why He died. These things are essential because accumulated truth from that cross is called the Holy Spirit. And now that Christ is glorified, you and I can sit down with the shield of faith. Our faith is what we've been taught. What is it that guards that faith? The Scriptures, the Bible, the shield of faith. And you don't have to be led astray anymore. You can believe the truth and stop sinning. And that needs to be your number one goal in what you want to do in your life, is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. All that's fulfilled in one word, Galatians 5:14. Love your neighbor as yourself. That fulfills all the law. That should be more important than any friend or pastor or church people, anybody in your life. This truth should be more important than anything else in your life. That you can receive truth into your infinite mind. You can receive the truth of God, manifest a love for God by showing love toward your neighbor, and bringing glory to the Father, to the Son, to their Holy Spirit, which you now possess. What could be greater than that? What could be more important than that? And if you want to cling to the people in your church when they refuse to walk in a place manifesting that they know God. Listen, we know they believe in God. But this is life eternal, that you might know the only true God and Jesus whom he hath sent. Can you do that? Because Antichrist denies the Father and Son. They deny that Jesus was the Son of God born in eternity. They call their God a mystery. We call our God the Father. There is only one God, the Father. And we praise him for what is revealing. Heavenly Father, help us receive truth, believe it, and live it, and be alive in it. And may you be forever glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.